following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Twirling around at night. I'm playing this music.
Shalom! Shalom uvracha! Welcome to a special Freilich edition of Dave's Gone By, an hour of music and mishigas from Merrick, Long Island. I'm Rabbi Sal Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. This being a special holiday week, Dave Lefkowitz, the host of Dave's Gone By, wanted me to come in and do a special holiday show. So, damn it, that's what I'm gonna do. Normally, the program is a mix of talk radio, music, comedy, nostalgia, whatever, and this show will have a lot of that too. But with a Yiddish neshama, a Jewish soul and spirit, but goyim don't feel left out. This isn't a religious program. I'm not here to proselytize or moralize or circumcise. All I really want to do is, baby, coexist with you. Unless you're a Muslim fundamentalist, in which case I hope your taxi crashes. But for the rest of you, welcome to Dave's Gone By, the Hanukkah Rocks edition. Certainly, the best way to start the show is the way we'll start the holidays, Friday night, November 29th at sundown, by lighting the candles. Now, if you're an observant Jew, you light the candles every Friday night to greet the Shabbos, the Sabbath. But this time, you're also lighting the menorah, perhaps the most recognized symbol of Judaism, aside from the Jewish star and the mink coat. Now, metaphorically, the menorah represents the great candelabra that was in the temple when the Jews got Jerusalem back in 168 BC. More on that later. The menorah has eight candles in it, plus a ninth a little higher than the rest. That's called the shamash. You use it to light the other candles. On the first night of Hanukkah, there's only one candle, all the way on the extreme right of the menorah facing you. You light the shamash, then you use the shamash to light that first candle on the right. You say three short prayers on the first night of Hanukkah, and then only two on all the other nights. Let's give a listen, shall we?
Baruch atah Adonai.
Blessed art thou,
Elohim,
O Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to light the candles of Hanukkah. And please, let this not have a defective wick. There's always at least five of those in every box. Damn it, it's really annoying. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who did miracles for our forefathers in ancient times. And please, don't let the wax drip on my fingers. It really hurts. Ow! Oh, too late. I always forget to hold the candle upright instead of tilted. Damn it! Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has supported us, protected us, and brought us to this moment. And please don't let the candle wax go on the table. We just cleaned it. Too late. Damn it! Amen. Now, we light the menorah in the window or doorway as a matter of pride. We want people to see that this is a Jewish home, that we are proud to observe our heritage, and that we're secretly turned on by the potential fire hazard. I should mention, you cannot use an electric menorah instead of a real candelabra, but as a decoration, as an extra way to let the neighbors know who you are, it's just fine. It's also a way of saying, Christmas lights, who needs them? I've got eight orange bulbs and a crepe paper dreidel. But anyway, the candle is lit, the prayers are prayed, it's time to move on with a special edition of the News Gone By, News for Jews, right after this message, which is not quite ready yet. So, I'm going to vamp a little. I think I'm going to vamp a little while we wait for this important message. It's important because it's sponsorship. And if there's one thing that puts the spirit into the season, it's commerce and sponsorship and wonderful things like that. Maybe I'll just sing the blessings again. Baruch at, oh, wait, I think we have it. Elokeinu, damn it, Melech Ha...
Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. These are magical words conjuring up an oilum of great entertainment. If you want to know everything about what's happening on the stages of New York, you need to get Performing Arts Insider magazine. For 60 years, Performing Arts Insider has been a Bible of the industry, Old Testament only. It tells you when shows are opening and closing, what they're about, who's in them, who wrote them, designers, producers, managers, box office info, everything you need to know about theater, opera, and dance, all the things Jews go to. As the chief rabbi of Melnik once put it, Performing Arts Insider is a godsend. All the facts at your fingertips. For more information, how to subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. So, what are you doing 10 o'clock tonight? Sleeping? Finishing the roast beef in the fridge? Here's a better idea. Listen to Entertainment Long Island, an hour of interviews and advice about how to be a performer. Every show has trivia, nostalgia, and live music by Eddie Hug and the Moonshiners. The host is Don Lewis, not Jewish, but a nice guy. So, listen to Entertainment Long Island tonight at 10, because in this meshuggah world, who can live without entertainment? Welcome back to the show, November 24th, 2002. This is the News for Jews, current events around the world from a rabbinical pinnacle. Our top story, what else could it be? Iraq, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, the Muslims are going nuts. What the hell is wrong with these people? The hummus really hit the fan on Thursday when a Palestinian militant killed 11 people and injured 49 others when he blew himself up on a crowded Jerusalem bus. It was morning rush hour. The bus was filled with commuters and school kids. Witnesses said they heard children screaming, "Mama, Mama," from the wreckage. Reuters reported that the militant group Hamas, of course, took credit for the carnage. Speculation is they're stepping up terror attacks to make Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and his hardline policies look bad before the general elections happening January 28th. Running against Sharon's Likud party is Amram Mitzna, the mayor of Haifa, heading the Labor Party. Now, Labor almost chose former defense minister Benjamin Ben-Eliezer, but he was seen as being too pro-Sharon, too hard-line, and Labor wanted to be more left-wing. So, the elections will be a real referendum on whether the people of Israel believe Sharon should stay the course, or if they should just throw up a white flag and withdraw unilaterally from the occupied territories. It's assumed that giving back all the land will finally bring peace to the region. As if. Let me tell you something. There was terrorism before 1967, and there'll be terrorism after 2002. But if they want to try something else, if they want to give the Arabs a chance, here is my suggestion. Go. Give back the land. All the occupied territories, Gaza, the whole schmear. It's all sand and camel piss anyway. That's all the bastards have done with it for 35 years. So, let them have it. Everything except East Jerusalem for now. Make the borders secure and see if the so-called peace-loving Islamics can govern themselves. If the terrorism stops, if the Jews stop dying, Mazel Tov. We'll all dance around, we'll shake hands, and in 10 years we'll talk about giving up East Jerusalem. However, if there's any terrorism or military action against Israel, Israel reserves the right to strike back. But not just the way they've been doing, but in a punitive way that would shock even the most militant Al-Qaeda operative. They want Hebron, give them Hebron. But if some burqa-wearing bitch gets on a bus in Tel Aviv and blows it up, we don't isolate Yasser Arafat in his office building and keep him there. We blow up the office building with him in it, and the building next to it, and the building next to that, and behind it, and the building down the block. And if they still don't get the message, if they have their land back, and yet still there's more terrorism, a few airplanes strafing Arab markets with machine gun fire should get the point across. When 150, 200 Arabs die for every Israeli being killed, maybe then they'll think twice about martyrdom. And every time there's a terrorist attack, resulting in loss of life or limb, that pushes back the timetable for getting back East Jerusalem another 2 years. So, if there are 6 terrorist attacks in a given year, that's a dozen extra years before we even hit the negotiating table. So, that is my offer, take it or leave it. Call it tough love, call it tough hate, but these people are out of control. Look what happened in Nigeria. A beauty pageant, a stupid beauty pageant, caused 4 days of rioting and left more than 200 people dead. Why? Because the devout Muslims read in a newspaper a reporter defending the pageant, saying that if Muhammad were around, quote, he would probably have chosen a wife from one of the contestants. That's it. For this, scores of Muslim youth finished their prayers on Friday, then they went around setting cars on fire and stoning and beating the crap out of Christians. To be fair, it should be noted that Christian vigilante groups started running around counterattacking Muslims. Pretty soon, churches and mosques were burning all over the northern city of Kaduna and the capital city, Abuja. According to Newsday, Nigerian officials initially saw the pageant as a source of good PR for the country, a way of attracting tourists. After all, Abuja is the Baltimore of the Middle East. But the whole thing backfired so much, officials are moving the beauty contest to London, where the Muslims are too busy selling fast food curry to do any real damage. Well, except to people's colons. But let's be clear about this. Nigeria has 120 million people in it. Well, minus 200. And it's not as if they're all Muslim. It's about half and half Muslim and Christian. So Christians have just as much right to look at boobs as Muslims have to look away. If you log on to the official Miss World website, www.missworld.org, not only do you get to read a letter by the Nigerian Minister of Foreign Affairs where he condemns stoning, but you can see and vote on who you want to be Miss World. Now let me tell you something. There are some hot women here, of all races, creeds, and colors. For example, get a load of the melons on Miss Bosnia Herzegovina. Not only would Muhammad have married her, he'd have done a threesome with her and Miss Holland. And he would have gotten Jesus on the phone and said, "Look, Mary's cute, but you gotta check out Miss Algeria. Her hobbies are reading books, volleyball, basketball, and swallowing." But no, the Muslims can't let anybody live and let live. They just caught the guy who masterminded the bombing in that nightclub in Bali that killed 200 people. He's an Indonesian who trained with militants in Afghanistan, and he has ties to Southeast Asia. Meanwhile, President Bush keeps pressuring Iraq to confess whether it has any biological and chemical weapons. If Iraq swears that it has no weapons, America will attack because they're obviously lying. If Iraq does list its illegal arsenal, America will attack because they're dangerous weapons in dangerous hands. If Iraq allows UN weapon inspectors to tour its facilities, America will attack because they're not showing all the really secret hiding places. No, of course it's not fair. But considering what's going on, I really do think it's time for militant, fanatical Muslims all over the world to be disarmed. I don't mean taking away their weapons. I mean cutting their arms off. And it's not so much punitive as it is practical. They'd spend so much time between prayer sessions trying to get their shoes back on, they wouldn't have time for any hanky-panky. And, speaking of hanky-panky, Miss Israel, you have my number. If my wife picks up, tell her you're Mrs. Elfenbein from the Couples Club, and you'll reach me at the office. But seriously, if you think I'm a dirty old man, how about these people in the news? First, you had the counselor convicted of sexual abuse at the Harlem Boys Choir. Then Jeffrey Jones, the guy who played the dean in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he's been charged with possessing child pornography and taking nudie pictures of a 14-year-old boy. And in the same sting operation, worst of all, a Jew, Paul Rubens, yes, Pee-wee Herman, was arrested for possessing kiddie porn. All three men are in their 50s, and they're all facing jail time for their jailbait time. I do feel a little sorry for Paul Rubens, real name Paul Rubenfeld. First, years ago, he was arrested in public in a dirty movie theater for doing what people do in a dirty movie theater. Now they've arrested him for looking at pornography in his own home. I think the next step is the FBI will wire his brain so that every time he even thinks about dragging us, the police will show up at his door with handcuffs and a warrant. You can just see that, right? Pee-wee is at home, he's planning his next career move, whatever that is. Let's see, I had some momentum going there with playing the drug dealer in that Johnny Depp movie. Maybe if my agent can lend me a guest shot on The Sopranos, maybe a pilot on Comedy Central for this new character I'm working on. Alright, well, worst comes to worst, I could play that weirdo again on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Sarah Michelle Gellar, nice half-Jewish girl, she was really good to work with, great sense of humor, nice pair of boobs. No, wait, don't go there. She's a nice girl. And that girl playing Willow, that Allison Hannigan, lot of fun too. Good people. And you know, they really should do more scenes together, Allison and Sarah Michelle. Like that kissing scene they did. They could be in the cafeteria after a food fight, so they're both soaking wet and their nipples are all pointy, and they start taking their clothes off and touching each other's boobs and... Paul Rubens? Mr. Paul Rubens? This is the police! Open up! Oi, wait, I'm coming! I'm not coming! Just a minute! Oi, poor Pee-wee. Such a brilliant man, so much funny material, but behind the zipper, there's a dark side. Which is why I'd like to dedicate this little poem to Paul Rubens. Oi, pity the poor Pee-wee Herman, arrested for moaning and squirming, for he masturbated to pictures X-rayed, 'cause he has no girl to put sperm in. And to think they picked that anti-Semite Amiri Baraka to be poet laureate when I'm right here creating gems like that. In other news for Jews, recently released files obtained under the Freedom of Information Act show that the FBI hounded chess master Bobby Fischer for years under the assumption that he or his mother was a communist spy. According to the Associated Press, the FBI was especially interested in Bobby Fischer's 1958 trip to Russia. An agent posed as a student journalist to interview producers of the television show I've Got a Secret, which featured Fischer before he left. Informants at the tournament said Fischer behaved badly, and at one point called his mother to complain it's no good here. Maybe there's no direct causality here, but this hounding by the federal government may give some clue why Fischer, one of the great chess players of the modern era, also turned out a Bissell Meshuggah, throwing tantrums, making impossible demands, railing against the United States. Well, what do you expect? He was paranoid. So, after winning the chess crown in 1972, he quit 3 years later. Still, there's no excuse for the anti-Semitism he has been spouting for 2 decades. In recent radio interviews, Fischer praised the September 11th terrorist attacks, saying America should be, quote, wiped out. And even though his mother was Jewish, he's described Jews as, quote, thieving, lying bastards. Mr. Fischer, you are the bastard. I'd like to take a bishop with a razor on the end of it, shove it up your tuchus, and then move it diagonally across all your vital organs. And then I take a couple of pawns, black or white, it doesn't matter, fry them in a skillet, and while they're still piping hot, push them down your throat one by one. And finally, I take 2 rooks, pour a little hydrochloric acid on the tops of them, and then thrust them vertically into your eye sockets. All right, I have issues, but he's a putz. In sad news, someone who wasn't a jerk, Israeli diplomat Abba Iban, died November 17th, pardon me, at age 87. He was a crucial ambassador to the UN and to the U.S. during the formative years of Yisroel, as well as through the 4 Arab Wars of 1948, 56, 67, and 73. It was Iban who coined the phrase that the Palestinians, quote, never lose a chance to miss an opportunity. After serving in the British Army during World War II, Iban quit to work diplomatically for Israel's independence. For obvious reason, he started as an intellectual utopian, but became more of a realist as the years went by. Still, he was always more popular overseas than he was at home, where they thought of him as kind of a snob, a dove, and a more talker than a doer. But he remained a world-famous figurehead, best known in recent years for helping write and narrate the video series Heritage, Civilization, and the Jews, which is unwatchable, because he had the most nasal voice I've ever heard on any human being anywhere. Abba Iban, you are a good guy, I hope you go to heaven, but whatever you do, I hope the first thing Hashem hangs you is a Sudafed and a pocket inhaler. Finally, in news for Jews, as we said, this Friday night is the first night of Hanukkah, where we celebrate the victory of Jews over Greek and Syrian forces in the 2nd century. We light candles on the menorah for 8 days to commemorate the 8 straight days that a little bit of oil burned night after night in the desecrated Jerusalem temple. It burned long enough for the Hebrews to make new oil for the candelabra, oil that wasn't made of pork or tallow or otherwise defiled. And if you think there's no difference between one kind of oil and another, ask George Bush why he's bombing Iraq and not Saudi Arabia. And that's News for Jews for this edition of News Gone By, November 24th, 2002. Send in your comments, opinions, and Miss World votes to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email Dave at davesgoneby@aol.com. Unless otherwise requested, all comments and questions may be read on the air. Name withheld upon request if you're a coward. That's davesgoneby@aol.com or snail mail box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. If you send potato latkes, remember that the applesauce has to be in a separate sealed container or else it gets all over the mailman and he yells at me and he throws my magazines in the bushes. What do you expect? He's a Lutheran. We'll be back after this.
Hi, Dave Lefkowitz here. If you're tuning in now for my show, Dave's Gone By, you missed it. Dave's Gone By moved to Sunday nights at 8, prime time. Am I ready for it? You'll just have to listen and see. It's still the same show, comedy, music, interviews, and regular features like News Gone By and the World Weird Web. So tune in Sundays, 8 p.m. on WGBB for Dave's Gone By, because an hour of great radio should follow Andy Rooney.
Two flamingos in a fruit fight!
All right, so listen, there's a new magazine in town with the latest stories and reviews about everything on stage. On and Off Magazine, a full-color guide to theater, dance, comedy, cabaret in New York, all the things Jews go to. The best part is, it's free. Ah, now you're listening. Yes, free at theaters, restaurants, hotels, and they're working on synagogues. So visit www.onandoffstage.com for more information and let On and Off be your guide. All right. We're looking for the next segment, which we're having a bit of computer trouble today, so I'm just going to move on and get some of these commercials done while I'm here. Oh, how about this one? If you love me, if you love what I'm doing, if you're a big fan of Dave's Gone By, or if you love actually what Dave's doing, I'm not Dave, I'm just a Jew sitting in for him, but if you love this show, why not join the Bystanders, the official Dave's Gone By fan club? You get a bi-monthly newsletter, a weekly email, an autographed membership card eligible for all kinds of bargains, plus a one-hour Best of Dave audio tape, which, damn it, I'd better be on, or I'll tell my congregation to watch The Simpsons instead. Anyway, it's $10 for everything, including the tape. A great deal. Join before the end of the year, and you get an autographed picture of Dave, which has a market value on eBay of about $1.50. But wait a few years, you never know. So, make a $10 check or money order payable to Total Theater and send it to Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also use PayPal to the email address davesgoneby@aol.com. Treat yourself for the holidays. Do it today. And I'm still on the air while we're going through technical heck. What? What? Shalom. Welcome back to the Dave's Gone By Show, rocking at you with the Hanukkah edition. I'm your special guest host, Rabbi Saul Solomon, ordained at Congregation Emmanuel X, and Conservadox Rabbi at Temple Sons of Bitches since 1985. Since Hanukkah is a fun holiday, a joyful holiday, and we don't get many of those, I thought we might do something freilich and fun. We're going to play the traditional game of Hanukkah, dreidel. And this is kind of like roulette without the balls. It's a simple game, really. Even Goyim can understand it. You can play with 2 people, 4 people, however many people you got. Everybody starts with a little bit of money, the same amount, with everyone anteing up into the pot to get started. You have a 4-sided top, a spinning object called a dreidel. Then, when it's done spinning, it can fall down on any one of its 4 sides. Each side is marked with a Hebrew letter. Nun, Gimel, He, Shin. They're the equivalents of the letters N, G, H, and the Sh sound. Nun, Gimel, He, Shin, which are the initials of the Hebrew phrase Nes Gadol Hayah Sham. A great miracle happened there. The miracle of Hanukkah. But for the purposes of the game, the letters on the dreidel have another meaning. If you spin the top and it falls on the Nun, nothing happens, you don't get any money, you don't lose any money.
If you spin and it falls on the gimel, you get any money that's in the pot. Gimel is the best. Gimel rules. Hay isn't bad either. If the dreidel falls on hay, you get half of what's in the pot. The bad one is shin. It's shin or get off the pot. Not only don't you get anything, you have to give something back. It's like income tax without the loopholes. Okay, so, four letters, four possibilities, and whoever has the most money at the end of the game wins. Now, it's not so much fun to talk about a game as it is to play it. So, to give an idea of how dreidel works, I've asked my good friend, Rabbi Jeffrey Rothberg of Congregation Yiddish Kiddush in Montpelier, New York, to help me play. Shalom, Jeffrey. How are you doing?
Great, Rabbi. I was the 10th man this morning.
The 10th man in Yeminyan. What is that? How did that go?
Fantastic. But it took a little too long to daven today. One of our usual members was kind of...
One of your male members, I assume.
Of course, of course. 10 men.
That's right.
So, but he was... It takes him a little too long to daven, and we get out a little too late. But, you know...
If you put a little DW-40 behind the knees, they can bend a little faster, they can move a little faster, go much quicker. I do this all the time with them.
Oh, mine.
Oh, man. Oh, all right, let's get to the game. One little thing. Since it's illegal to gamble in New York State, unless it's bingo, lotto, or the slot machines we like to call New York City payphones, we're going to do dreidel a little differently tonight. Instead of playing for money, Jeffrey and I will exchange nuggets of information. We'll each take a spin, and we'll see what turns up. If the dreidel falls on a nun, we'll share an interesting fact about Chanukah. If the dreidel falls on a hay, we'll delight you with a Jewish proverb from my namesake, King Solomon. If one of us gets a gimel, a wonderful gimel, we'll tell a joyful Jewish joke. And if we get a shin, we have to talk about a famous person who is Jewish, but we wish weren't. Okay, so those are the rules. Are you ready, Jeffrey?
Amen.
Okay. And so, since you're my guest, why don't you take the voice spin of the dreidel? Go for it. It's spinning. It's going around and around and around and around. Wobbling now. Oh, you got a gimel. A gimel is a good thing. Okay, gimel means a joke. Jeffrey, you have to tell the first joke.
It was 2 days before Hanukkah, and Mr. Feldman was upset because his hours were cut back at his job, and he didn't have enough money to buy presents for his family. As he trudged home from work, he passed by a Presbyterian church with a sign on the door. The sign read, $1,000 cash to anyone who converts before midnight. Well, this was the answer to Mr. Feldman's problems. He went in, joined the church, and got the cash. Then he comes home, waves the money at his hands, and tells his wife and kids, Happy holidays. We finally have a little something to celebrate. Oh, said his wife, you remember the coat you promised me 3 years ago? I saw it on sale at Macy's for $500. Well, a promise is a promise, said Mr. Feldman, giving his wife the money. Then his 9-year-old son speaks up and says, All the other kids in schools have new bicycles. Can I get a bike, pretty please? They have a great 10-speed Schwinn for only $300. So Mr. Feldman gave him the money and says, Go enjoy. Drive safely. Then his teenage daughter pipes up, Daddy, the big dance is next week. I want a new dress so I don't look stupid and out of fashion. How much? I saw one at Lohman's for only $200. It's perfect. Feldman gave her the rest of the money, then he sank into his armchair, starched a brood, a big frown on his face. What's the matter? Said his wife. Ah, said Mr. Feldman, it never fails. The minute a Gentile gets a little money, you Jews take it all away from us.
Ba-dum-bum! Yeah, that's the joke, ladies and gentlemen. Alrighty. Time for me to spin my little dreidel and see what comes up. Okay, it's spinning, it's coming down, it's gonna be a... it's a shin. It's a bad, nasty thing. This, again, is Jews we wish weren't Jewish. People we'd like to kick the shin out of. And the first one is Abe Hirschfeld, a strange little crazy man who is the stereotype of a shady Jew operating above the law. He made his fortune building parking garages. No shame there. He owned the New York Post for about 15 minutes, just long enough to save it from bankruptcy, and he's a perennial seeker of political office.
But he was also indicted on 123 counts of tax evasion. And then he tried to tip the deadlocked jury $2,500 each. More recently, he was convicted of trying to hire a hitman to kill his former business partner.
Amen.
He's like Jackie Mason gone psycho, and he's become an embarrassment. Even though he claims to have invented that magnetic seal thing that keeps refrigerator doors closed, which is really an excellent thing, actually. All right, Jeffrey, you ready to spin again? Spin again. I saviv on sov 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 Chanukah hu chag tov. Hey, Chanukah hu chag tov. Saviv, here we go. It's falling, it's coming down. Here we go. It's another gimel.
Is this a fixed dreidel?
It's not a fixed dreidel. There's no magnets in it. You read, it's a beautiful little wooden dreidel. Read the joke. It's a joke for a gimel.
The first Jewish president of the United States calls his mother in Far Rockaway and invites her for Hanukkah. His mama says, you know I'd like to, but it's so much trouble. First I have to get a cab to the airport, and it takes forever on Queens Boulevard. Yeah, and sometimes you get killed there. Mama, the man says, I'm President of the United States. I'll send Air Force One for you. Yes, boy chick, but when we land, I still have to go through the airport and all the crowds. Mama, I'll have a helicopter pick you up, says the son. You'll go straight from the plane to the Rose Garden. Son, she replies, I'm not trying to be difficult, but what about food? I'm kosher. Plus, I'm on a special low-salt diet. Plus, I'm watching my cholesterol. It's too much. Mama, we have a dozen chefs on call 24 hours a day. Anything you want, they can make for you. So what do you say? And the woman sighs and says, all right, for you, I'll come. And then then she hangs up. Then she calls her best friend Ida, who asks, what's new? And she says, I just found out. I'm visiting my son for Hanukkah. That's nice, said Ida. Which son, the doctor? No, the other one.
Ba-dum-bum! Yeah, the Jewish comedy just keeps rolling here, as does the little dreidel around and around she spins. You having fun, Jeffrey, there? Oh, I got another shin. Oh, no, another shin.
Us goyim don't understand these jokes. So.
This is another Jew we wish weren't Jewish. Roseanne. Now, she became famous playing the world's first white trash Jew, and it was downhill from there. Actually, her TV show was terrific the first couple of years, but then it went meshuggah, then she went meshuggah, and it was touch and go there for a while, whether Roseanne was uglier than she was crazy, or crazier than she was ugly. Turned out that race was a tie, although it did have a loser, Tom Arnold. Okay, Jeffrey, why don't you spin that little triangle again? I hope you don't get a joke, no offense. It's spinning around, it's wobbling. It's a nun! Oh, it's a nun! Which means you get to read a basic fact about the Hanukkah holiday.
In 168 BC, the Greek and Syrian Empire took control of Judea. Not just political control, but their mission was to Hellenize the population, which means figuratively to lead them to hell. But they went a little too far. They stormed into the Jewish temple in Jerusalem and smashed everything, defiled everything, and forced the Jews to eat pork to prove their allegiance to King Antiochus. But when some Greco-Syrian soldiers got to the little town of Modin, they defiled the temple there and sacrificed a pig on the altar. An old Jewish priest named Mattathias got really ticked off, so he did what any deeply religious priest would do. He stabbed the soldier to death and ran away.
The true story. That's the beginning of the true story of Hanukkah. All right, I'm going to give one more spin to my little dreidel here. We're going to see around and around. Oop, it fell. I'm just going to drop it to save some time here. I got a hay. Hay is for hay. And hay is also for proverbs. We read a little proverb from the book of Proverbs by King Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother, which is universal everywhere, except in the Kennedy, Bush, and Estevez families. All right, Jeffrey, why don't you do one more little spin here? And it's spinning around and around and around. It's a hypnotic little object. Something my wife says about me sometimes. What? What did you get? What did you get?
A hay.
You got a hay also. It's a proverb. Lay it on us.
A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a wound to the spirit. I always thought a soothing tongue was the key to perverseness.
Yeah, so did my wife. All right, whatever that means. We're going to take a little bit of a break here, a musical break, actually, from this exciting game. Jeffrey, of course, you know the most well-known Hanukkah song, the Dreidel song. It's a classic. Why don't you sing with me, okay? Dreidel, 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 dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, mit dreidel, what's the matter? He doesn't want to play with his dreidel. Well, anyway, that's
the... That's my girlfriend's...
you have a girlfriend?
Prerogative.
I didn't know you had a girlfriend. This is good.
A Presbyterian.
Does the congregation know?
Abyssal.
Anyway, that was the normal dreidel song, but we have kind of a weird version off a 1988 CD on the Rounder Records label. The CD is called Hanukkah at Home, and it's kind of an attempt to do a gentle folk music-y thing for kids of the yuppie generation. So, of course, it's lame as hell. But check out this version of the dreidel song, and see if you don't think a couple of the voices are a little creepy.
I have a little dreidel, I made it out of soap. I'll spin it in the bathtub, it will not melt, I hope.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of soap. I'll spin it in the bathtub, it will not melt, I hope.
I had a little dreidel, I made it out of ice. It melted when I spun it, which was not very nice.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of ice. It melted when I spun it, which was not very nice.
I had a little dreidel, I made it out of straw.
It went 80 miles an hour and broke the speeding law.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of straw. It went 80 miles an hour and broke the speeding law.
I had a little dreidel, I made it out of sand. And when I tried to spin it, it crumbled in my hand.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of sand. And when I tried to spin it, it crumbled in my hand.
I had a little dreidel, I made it out of mud. And when I tried to spin it, it fell down with a thud.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of mud. And when I tried to spin it, it fell down with a thud.
I made it out of bread.
I did not spin my dreidel. I ate it up instead.
I had a little dreidel. I made it out of schmaltz. And when I tried to spin it, it did a little waltz.
Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. I made it out of schmaltz. And when I tried to spin it, it did a little waltz.
I had a little dreidel. I made it out of air. Spun around so softly and as silent as a prayer.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it out of air. It spun around so softly and as silent as a prayer.
I have a little dreidel, I made it in my mind. An imaginary dreidel is the hardest one to find.
Oh, dreidel, 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 I made it in my mind. An imaginary dreidel is the hardest one to find.
The dreidel song, sung by Dan Crow, J.P. Nightingale, Fred Sokolov, and Uncle Ruthie Buell. Yes, I swear, Uncle Ruthie Buell, who wrote the new verses to this traditional number. I don't know, I'm sorry. Jews should not be making things out of hair and soap. That's just too much history to deal with. Anyway, back to the dreidel game with my friend and guest, Rabbi Jeffrey Rothenberg of Congregation Yiddish Kiddush. Jeffrey, I believe it's my spin, but you can spin. Spin that thing. Oh, yeah. It hit an object on the table, but we're just going to let it keep spinning anyway. And it's a gimel. A gimel is a joke. He doesn't want to do the joke.
It's a nun.
Oh, it's a nun? It's not a nun. It's a gimel.
Where's the second? Where's the joke thing? Give me this. I'll do the joke.
The rabbi knows best.
Okay. Oh, you can do this one. This is the top five reasons Hanukkah is better than Christmas.
Number five, you can use your fireplace. Number four, no such thing as a silent night when you have Jewish relatives. Number three, if a fat bearded guy in a department store wants to put your child on his lap, you can arrest him. Number two, good cheer, optional. Amen, that's my house. Number one.
The number one reason.
Hashem knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake, but he doesn't give a crap.
Thank you. Very nicely done, Jeffrey. I'm going to spin my little dreidel again. Oh, here we go. This is so exciting. It's spinning. Oh, yeah. It's coming down. It's on a shin. Why do I keep getting the shins? Oh, this is so sad. Who else do we hate? Oh, yes. Bobby Fischer, the chess player. We mentioned him before in the show, but it bears repeating. He was an intellectual hero in the 1970s, the guy who beat the big bad Ruskies in chess. Then he starts behaving like a baby, insulting America, spewing anti-Semitism. Just remember this. I wouldn't say chess is a sport for nimbyches, but Mr. Fischer, there are 90-year-old bingo players who could kick your ass. And should. All right, Jeffrey, give that thing a spin. Oh, you're a good spinner, Jeffrey. This is. Do you practice this much?
Nine.
Huh, what an ad lib. Okay, then. What's your ad lib there? you're gonna giggle again. All right, give me the joke thing. I'll do the joke thing. Yeah. You're making that thing, so I have to read the jokes. Oh, this is my favorite joke of all time. It's very upsetting, but I love it. Morty and Hyman are in the death camp at Birkenau. I'm trying not to laugh.
I'll read this one.
Okay.
Morty and Hyman are in a death camp at Bergen-Belsen. They're naked, standing over an open pit about to be shot by the Nazis. Morty looks at one of the SS officers and says, "You bastards, you filthy son of a bitches, I hope the Allies come and burn Germany to the ground. I hope you choke to death on the blood of your children." And Hyman turns to his friend and says, "Shh, Morty, why are you making trouble?"
Ba-dum-bum! The ultimate Jewish joke, I think. By the way, I'm spinning my dreidel again. I'm spinning again. A nun. I think that may... Is that our first nun? No. This is the second nun. Another basic fact about the Hanukkah holiday. Now, you remember Mattathias. He was the guy who stabbed the priest, who stabbed that soldier to death. And he ran away, but he didn't run away for long. He regrouped with his five children called the Maccabees. And these Maccabees weren't playing games. They formed a resistance movement in the hills and began fighting back. They were brave, and they had good strategy, especially Mattathias' noblest son, Judah, nicknamed Judah the Hammer, ostensibly because of his strength, but it also could have been a sexual thing.
It looked like Chuck Connors.
Oh, yeah. He was the rifleman in those days, let me tell you. Spin the bears! Spin the thing! Spin your top! Let's do it. Oh, you're Jeffrey the Hammer. There we go. You just have that good spin action. I can't see the thing. Move your hand there. All right. It's turning. Little wheel, spin. Oh, I don't believe you got a gimbal. We are not fixing this, folks. He got another gimbal. All right. Where's the other page? Give me the jokes there. We'll do another joke here. You want to read it, or should I? He doesn't want to do this one. Okay. Izzy Finkelstein, a devout Jew, is living in Louisiana. One day, there's a terrible flood. His whole house is underwater, and he's standing on the roof. Pretty soon, a rowboat comes to rescue him, but he refuses. He says, "God will rescue me. I'll wait for him." So the boat goes away, and the flood rises to Izzy's knees. Another boat comes by. The guy says, "Get in." And Izzy says, "No, I put myself in Hashem's hands. He will rescue me." The boat goes away. The water rises to Izzy's neck. This time, a helicopter comes. But Izzy won't get on the ladder. He just shouts, "Go away! God will save me, I believe!" So he drowns. And he was a righteous man, so he goes straight up to heaven. And there he meets God. And first thing he complains, "God, I was such a good Jew.
I had such faith in you. Why had you forsaken me? And God said, schmuck, I sent two boats, a helicopter. What do you want, a scuba suit? All right, I think I spin the dreidel now. Is my time for the spinning? I'm just loving this happy Jewish comedy here. It's a Freilich time. It's a good Hanukkah fun pastime here, and it falls on the Nun. Nun means that it's another basic fact about Hanukkah. Oh, good, I get to tell more about the holiday. Why don't we switch on this one? Since I did the last thing, why don't you read right there about the Maccabees?
The Maccabees fought the invading Greco-Syrian forces, and although greatly outnumbered, won. They were even victorious in a battle against soldiers riding on elephants. The Jews marched victorious into the Jerusalem temple on the 25th day of the Jewish month of Kislev. Only the temple was all desecrated. Remember? So they had to clean it up and reanoint everything, which they did.
Which they did. Okay. We're each going to do one more little spin, and then we're going to kind of finish up our game here. So, hopefully we'll get another Nun so we can finish up this wonderful Hanukkah story. It's spinning, it's going around and around and around and around, and... Oh, your shin again. You keep getting gimbals, I keep getting shins. I keep getting kicked in the shins here. My next person, the Jew I wish I wasn't Jewish, is Barry Sheck, the epitome of the brilliant Jewish lawyer who doesn't take into consideration the guilt or innocence of his client. Say what you want about Johnny Cochran and his poetry, playing the race card, it was Sheck, putting all the jagged pieces together in a way that completely distorted the overall picture. He rewrote the history that let O.J. Simpson get away with killing Nicole and Ron Goldman. I realize Sheck was just doing his job, but the so-called Dream Team helped erode people's confidence in law and justice in this country, and that is unforgivable, especially from someone who should be representing the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Amen. Why don't you spin it one more time, Jeffrey? Let's see what we get. Hanukkah, Hanukkah, day, day, ba, 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 yalla, day, 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 ba, 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 yalla, day, 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 spinning, spinning some more, eating up my airtime, what is this for? Here we go. It's coming down. It's a hey, we haven't had that many of them. Another proverb. Here's this is a good one. Here's a proverb from you, King Solomon.
In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them.
That was a good one. We read it before. Why don't you do the next one?
Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. But if a man's friend is wearing ointment and perfume, I definitely keep an eye on both of them.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. Well, I hope you enjoyed playing this wonderful, happy, happy game. That is the Dreidel game. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Did you have a good time?
Of course.
I'm glad. And give my love to your congregation. Give my love to your girlfriend.
My crummy congregation, yeah.
Why, what's wrong with the congregation there?
They don't get to shul on time.
They don't congregate. So that's why you were the 10th man. How long did it take you to be the 10th man today?
Oh, 11, 12 minutes.
Oh, that is unacceptable. If you're listening, people, and I know you're not, then definitely come to congregation on time, have a good minion, he's a good rabbi.
God, I hope my chief rabbi isn't listening.
Anyway, have fun playing dreidel at home. Remember, bet with your seichel, not over it. And we'll be back after this.
We just let our song praise your saving power. Thou midst the raging foes, you were our sheltering tower, our sheltering tower. Ages did our song praise thy saving power. Thou midst the raging force, you were our sheltering tower, our sheltering tower. Furious, they assailed us, but thine arm availed us, and thy word broke their sword when our own strength failed us, and your word broke their sword when our own strength
WWGB.
Okay, this is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there, and not too many Hanukkah songs, so wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go.
Put on your yarmulke, here comes Hanukkah. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of light. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. Lights the menorah, so do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together,
what a fine looking Jew.
Don't need deck the halls or jingle bell rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish.
Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah.
O.J. Simpson, not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted.
We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby.
Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish. Not too shabby.
Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is.
Well, he's not. But guess who is?
All three Stooges. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time you celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, forget a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. If you really, really wanna go, have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah.
Well, you knew we couldn't get through this show without playing the Adam Sandler Hanukkah song, especially since he's got an animated movie coming out just based on the phrase Eight Crazy Nights. I think it's a wonderful song. I'm thrilled it's so popular. So, new Adam, when are you going to write a song about Tu Bishvat, huh? We're waiting!
every Saturday night at 7:30, right here on WGBB. It's Joe Salzone Live. Tell us about it, Joe.
Well, Dave, it's a half-hour, fast-paced glimpse at the world we live in.
Joe Salzone brings his old-fashioned, conservative views, along with his desire to hear all viewpoints, to the airwaves each week. It's a one-of-a-kind show that you'll hear only on Long Island's news and information leader,
1240 AM WGBB,
the station that serves your community. If you're a big fan of Dave's Gone By, and God knows I am, why not join the Bystanders, the official Dave's Gone By fan club? You get a bi-monthly newsletter, a weekly email, an autographed membership card eligible for all kinds of bargains, plus a one-hour Best of Dave audio tape, which, damn it, I'd better be on, or I'll tell my congregation to watch The Simpsons instead. Anyway, it's $10 for everything, including the tape. A great deal. Join before the end of the year, and you get an autographed picture of Dave, which has a market value on eBay of about $1.50. But wait a few years. So, make a $10 check or money order payable to Total Theater and send it to Box 62, Ulent, New York, 11557-0062. You can also use PayPal to the email address davesgoneby@aol.com. Treat yourself for the holidays. Do it today. Well, look how fast the time has passed. Time for me to put the dreidels to bed, tuck the latkes in, kiss the menorah goodnight, and wrap up this show. Check the website for Dave's Gone By, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see a playlist for the music on the program, plus all sorts of other mishigas, including ways to spend money on the show. That's always important. You can join the Bystanders Club, advertise, you can buy cassettes of past programs. It's like a shopping mall for the soul. Thank you, Station Manager Joey, Engineer Paul, and Engineer Joe. None of them Jewish, not one, but they're great anyway. Engineer Joe has a political talk show. He's more right-wing than I am. Joe Salzone Live, Saturday nights at 7:30. And Sunday nights, 10 to 11, an hour from now, Don Lewis hosts Entertainment Long Island. Music and nostalgia for everybody. Thank you to my special guest, Rabbi Jeff Rothberg of Congregation Yiddish Kiddish in Montpelier, New York. I think still he was playing with a rigged gimel. Dave Lefkowitz will be back next week, 8 to 9, so if you hated me, don't worry, you're safe until Pesach. Until then, be tolerant of your neighbors, be good to yourselves, don't miss your days going by. On behalf of myself, my dear wife Miriam Libby, and our 18 children, plus one on the way, Baruch Hashem, this is Rabbi Sal Solomon saying Chag Sameach and Shalom Uvracha. From every one of me to every one of you.
Been listening to Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz on 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.